This is the only live and local morning show in the area. Interesting news, engaging talk, and news that affects you. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
My guest this morning is Pendleton Police Chief Chuck Byram. My conversation with him begins after this.
Every year, over 3 million older adults are treated in emergency rooms for fall-related injuries. If you or a loved one is concerned about falling, McKay Creek Estates is hosting a free fall safety webinar on Friday, March 22nd at 10 a.m. The webinar will feature physical therapist Mike Stutter and discuss the importance of balance and walking gait in preventing falls, along with the effects falling can have on mental health. Visit PrestigeCanHelp.com to sign up today. Again, that's PrestigeCanHelp.com.
Local news, local issues, local talk. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour. I'm your host, Dan Tessman. My guest this morning, Pendleton Police Chief Chuck Byram, and welcome to the program.
Morning, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you coming in. And is there anything going on crime-wise that is of concern recently?
Well, recently it's just been more of the status quo for us. We all know the issues that we're dealing with the lower level crimes committed by certain populations, and but more importantly, I think what's caught my attention most recently is still people falling for those telephone scams. I think we've had three in the last couple weeks that have caused significant concern. One individual is out a substantial amount of money because they decided that they were going to go down to the Coinstar machine after getting a call saying that somebody needed money for help in the family and send a lot of money away via the Coinstar stuff. Our detectives are working hard on trying to follow those Bitcoin trail, and see if they can do anything about that. It's a convoluted mess when you start dealing with Coinstar and Bitcoins and stuff like that. So we're trying to work on that. Another one involved another elderly individual from our community that it was actually caught by one of our local service providers around here where she was trying to send away a bunch of gift cards to somebody. And so she was able to retain her money in that scam. And then also if anybody ever calls your business and says that the boss needs money out of the safe and you need to take it and go get Apple cards and deposit into this account, it's probably a scam. It's not going to happen. Those are the things that are causing concern right now for me, and that nobody is ever going to call on the telephone from any governmental agency or anything like that and say you need to go deposit money via Apple iTunes gift cards or Bitcoin or anything like that to resolve your issues with the government. For the most part, people that have problems with the IRS or any type of governmental entity already know they have those problems. And nobody from the government is going to call and request money to resolve those problems. So I just want to get the word out there more and more that anytime anybody gets a phone call like that, it is going to be a scam, and do not fall for it. And if they still think that it's real, call us and we can verify that. I hate to see people lose hard-earned money because they are scammed by people who are persistent, making sense at the time to the individual who is listening to them and won't let it go until something is done about it. So I just encourage people to call us if and when that happens.
All right. And then talk about the hoax that caused the evacuation of Walmart. Your officers responded very quickly.
Well, yeah, you know, we're seeing more and more of these lately around the region, around the country. Almost read about it on a daily basis, where somebody's calling in to some business or entity or whatnot and saying, hey, you have a bomb in your building and it's going to go off in this amount of time. You need to evacuate. Well, in this case, it happened to us on, I believe it was the 28th of February at approximately 7:15 p.m. Our City County Dispatch Center received a phone call that was either digitally voice altered or just complete digital recording of a voice that says that there's going to be a bomb going off in Walmart within 45 minutes. Well, of course, that prompted a response from all local area entities, including us, Umatilla Tribal Police Department, I believe County Sheriff's Department, and Oregon State Police all responded to help evacuate and control the scene and situation. We went in and with the cooperation of Walmart went in, did a check around the business, waited that 45 minutes just as precautionary measures. Nothing obviously went off. Then did another search of the business and did not locate anything, and then business resumed as normal. That's just the standard operating procedures and standard practices of any type of bomb call like that. We were working under the assumption that it was probably a hoax. However, we treated it like it was real. If you don't treat it like it's real just one time and then it does turn out to be real, then that's an issue for us. So every time we treat it like it's real, and then pray for the best more than anything else like that. But again, it was a hoax, and we can't trace the number. It was a spoof number. They didn't call in via 911. They called in the regular business line through county. And so we're just operating under somebody is taking up a lot of emergency services time and costing Walmart a little bit of money at the same time.
And I have to ask, what do you think of the Oregon legislature's so-called fix for Measure 110?
Well, I think it's a compromise is what it is. Something needed to be done, and it looks like something was done. We'll see the effects of it. What it does is it creates, classifies drug possession now as an unclassified misdemeanor, which will be treated with up to 180 days in jail if convicted. So it's more like a high-end misdemeanor now, which, well, as we know before, it was a class E violation. And there was really no teeth for the criminal justice system to try to get these individuals into treatment when they really need it, because we've seen the failure of having this population try to get into treatment on their own with the $100 ticket and a phone number to call the hotline to try to get into treatment. Is less than 1% success rate, I believe, out of all the citations that were issued. So something definitely needed to change there, because the criminal justice system just can't be totally cut out of the equation. And that's what we've been harping on this whole time since the passage of ballot measure 110 by the voters, is that you're basically cutting out a key component, a key player. We don't need to be at the tip of the spear, so to speak, on this if you don't want us. But you can't completely cut us out. And that's basically what it did. It just completely cut the criminal justice system out. And there's a certain significant portion of that population that still needs the criminal justice system to hold them to account. And their drug use impacts the community in more ways than just them hurting themselves. They are stealing. They are victimizing the community in order to keep their habit going. And so it's one of those things where the criminal justice system has to be involved in some level. Now, what's built into this is what's called now a deflection system, where entities such as the city of Pendleton or Umatilla County can sign on to an agreement to create a deflection system where if we think that somebody that we are interacting with that we have probable cause to believe is in possession of methamphetamine or fentanyl or whatever and violates that U misdemeanor, we can deflect them into a treatment program instead of taking them through the criminal justice system. But knowing that if they don't complete that treatment system, that the criminal justice system is still being held over their head with that class A or with the class U misdemeanor. So it's one of those things where it gives us a little more teeth. It gives us a little more governmental interest to intervene in the habits of these individuals, where basically it hasn't been happening thus far. Through social services, to the extent where people need it to be, because people in the community that are watching this and seeing what's going on to their communities are tired of it. They're fed up with it. And something definitely needed to be done. And so now we will see. I haven't heard yet whether the governor has signed this yet. I know it was on her desk, but once it gets signed and implemented, there's still a lot of work to do with the Umatilla County District Attorney's Office. DA Dan Premis, who is a big spearheader of this through the Oregon District Attorneys Association, as well as the Oregon Association of Chiefs of Police, the Sheriff's Association, League of Oregon Cities, all of those entities were on board with this. So we basically gave our support through all of our associations to go this route. So we have a little bit of ownership in this. Now we own this, where we didn't own ballot measure 110 before. We were mostly against that. So now we have some ownership in this. And now we have to step up to the plate and make sure that what we signed on is working to the best of our abilities. And if it doesn't work, then we're going to have to pivot again. But don't be afraid to pivot.
And are there other concerns coming out of Salem that you have?
As of right now, no. I think ballot measure 110 was the biggest one in this short session, and I think that was the guiding point for all of us and what we were really laser focused on, because again, it's only 35 days and you can't get a whole lot done.
All right. I'm talking this morning with Pendleton Police Chief Chuck Byram. We're going to take a break. Come back with more. Stay with us.
No hot water? Head to Zimmerman & Company True Value for help. Here's Jeff to tell you more.
When you find your electric water heater is no longer heating your water, you can replace the electrodes with a wide variety of electrodes that we carry here in stock.
What about if you do need to replace your water heater?
We do carry water heaters, generally 40 and 50 gallon type, and we usually have them in stock.
Open 7 days a week, Zimmerman & Company True Value, a mainstay on Main Street for over 80 years in downtown Pendleton.
Bursted pipes, basement flooding, and large leaks are water emergencies you can't afford to ignore. Customers with these emergencies can call for meter checks and water shutoffs. During regular business hours, please call the public works shop. After hours, please call the non-emergency 24-hour dispatch center. If you need to schedule a leak check, have a payment question, or have a non-emergency issue, contact the utility billing department at City Hall.
Stop in and visit the Community Thrift Shop in downtown Pendleton. It's no ordinary secondhand store. This little gem offers a boutique experience at thrift store prices. Stop in, and stop in often, as the gently used donations hit the shelves daily. Your donations of gently used vintage and antique items are always appreciated. Open Tuesday through Saturday at 10. Follow Community Thrift Shop on Facebook, and remember, all proceeds from the Community Thrift Shop proudly support Heritage Station Museum.
Engaging talk. Let's get back to the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Joining me this morning is Pendleton Police Chief Chuck Byram. And Chief, I understand two new officers have been sworn in. Where does that put you staff-wise?
Well, Dan, I don't think it's so much sworn in as they finally completed the academy training. It's the last two that we had in the academy, and now they're back home and they're starting or continuing their field training with a field training officer. So again, we are full staffed. They're just not all out on their own. We currently have five new officers in certain phases of the field training and evaluation program. So we're excited to have those back. The most recent two that came back from the academy were Officer Natalie Orchard and Officer Peter Josue. A little fun facts about them is Officer Natalie Orchard has one heck of a singing voice. News to me, but she sang the national anthem at her graduation down at DPSST, and it was just absolutely lovely. I was very impressed by that. Peter Josue and his wife both went through the same academy class. She works for Hermiston Police Department. He works for Pendleton Police Department. So they had to make a lot of sacrifices family-wise because they have two small children in order to make that happen. But that's their commitment both to the profession and to the communities that they're going to serve. So it's good to have them back full staffed. What's that going to allow us to do here, hopefully before summer starts, is create that community policing initiative. And I think it rolls kind of right in with the reforms to ballot measure 110 with what my intent was when I put in for that grant for the two additional bodies, is to carve out a new beat in our geographical area to encompass the river levee, adjacent parks, and the downtown core. And then partner with the Pendleton Downtown Association, Community Corrections, and Community Counseling Solutions to form a team to go out and interact with this mentally ill, addicted, homeless population, and to either divert them into services, hold them accountable, or provide a presence to deter the activity that everybody's seeing on a daily basis. And so I think everything's falling into place as far as that goes, and we will see how it works. I'm excited to get it up and running. We got to purchase a couple of bikes coming up in this new budget thing, because I want my officers on bikes on the river levee and in the downtown area. And they'll also be on foot, and they'll also be in vehicles, depending on weather and circumstances and stuff like that. But it's been a long time coming. Again, trying to find viable individuals that work for us. Get them through the academy, get them trained. It's a long process, and we're at the light at the end of the tunnel. But that's when I really start getting concerned, is when stuff's really working out too well, is what's going to happen next to kind of derail that. So it's trying to keep the train on the tracks and get us to where we need to be, so that the community sees a positive impact for the investment that they're allowing me to make in this.
We notice you're spreading the word about the Guardian Care Center's fundraising golf tournament on your social media page. Tell us why the center is so important for children who are victims of crime.
Well, it's Guardian Care Center is a vital part of the system in what they do in one of our most vulnerable populations, our children in our community, that get victimized. They are the one stop center for forensic interviewing, for forensic physical examinations to determine if these children have been abused. And they do a wonderful job. They play a vital role in holding the most heinous of individuals accountable for perpetrating crimes against children. And so what they do is invaluable, and they are always looking to raise funds, and that's what the Guardian Care Center golf tournament is. I mean, they're basically running a nonprofit, and so they need all the help that they can get. And April 27th is the four-person scramble out at, I believe it's Birch Creek. I can't remember now, but I think it's out at Birch Creek. Or no, it's out at Wild Horse. I'm sorry. It is out at Wild Horse golf course. I know that I already got my foursome signed up and ready to go. And the more the merrier, but spots are limited. So if you can put a team together and get out there and support a great cause, they could really use it.
And the Two Cultures, One Community powwow was a success. How was policing such a big event?
Well, for us, that quite honestly isn't a large event compared to some of the events that we do, but it is significant in the fact that it is the first one that we've had here, and we want it to be a success. We want to partner with the tribes in stuff as a city of Pendleton. And so what we want to do in situations like that is gain all the knowledge that we can beforehand going into an event to know what to expect. And what we encounter. So I had a meeting with Pat Beard, Fred Hill, with the tribes, and also Chief Adelman, and we just sat down and we talked about what could be expected. And I can tell you that working with the tribes is wonderful. We need to partner more with them, obviously, in the things that we do. And the powwow went off without a hitch. And I think that's all because of the planning and because of the people involved and the entities involved. This, to my surprise, was a big competition. There was a lot of prize money involved. There was a lot of people here, and it's very serious. And so with events like that, we don't want to get in the way. We want to provide a presence to know that people to know that are showing up, that want to cause trouble, that we're not going to tolerate it. But at the same time, we're like any good sports referee. You shouldn't notice us during the game. And that's quite honestly the presence that we wanted to provide, and I think we pulled that off pretty well.
All right, sounds good. Well, I'm talking this morning with Pendleton Police Chief Chuck Byram. We're going to take another break. Back with more.
Destination is on your bucket list. The Walla Walla Regional Airport can get you there with 101 one-stop destinations through Seattle. Is a Broadway musical in New York singing out your name, or laying on the beach with a margarita in the Mexican Riviera? Check out your bucket list destinations on alaskaair.com and be sure to enter ALW to start your trip from your home airport, where you always have free parking. Book your tickets today and fly Walla Walla.
Need a ride? The City of Pendleton has you covered. Did you know the Dial-A-Ride Transit van service in Pendleton runs 7 days a week? To arrange your next day ride with Dial-A-Ride, call Elite Taxi Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 541-276-6476. This service runs within the City of Pendleton and the urban growth boundary, and cost is only $1 per ride. For daily schedules and other transit service the city provides, go to City of Pendleton's website at pendleton.or.us/transportation.
Join Team Wild every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Wild Horse Resort and Casino will have a walk-in career event. Come meet the friendly team members for on-the-spot interviews. Wild Horse Resort and Casino has more benefits, including group health, vision, and dental, 10 paid holidays, paid birthday, vacation, and sick leave, employer 7% 401k match, education reimbursement, free meal on shift, and more. So come visit Human Resources on Wednesday for on-the-spot interviews and possible job offers. Wild Horse Resort and Casino, Pendleton.
A Pendleton original, it's the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
We're back this morning with Pendleton Police Chief Chuck Byram, and Chief, Pendleton police officers, of course, are a valued part of the community. We understand Lieutenant Tony Nelson has something to do with the high school swim teams showing at the state tournament. Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, you know, Lieutenant Nelson has been the head coach of the Pendleton High School swim team for a number of years now, and this year culminated in a pretty good run for his team, specifically the girls, where I think they obtained a second place finish in a relay. Lieutenant Nelson is all in on helping out the community like that, and seeing people grow and seeing that program grow. It takes a lot of his time and sacrifice, but at the same time, it's worth it. Anybody that's ever coached any youth sports or high school sports knows that it does take a commitment if you want to do it right. And Tony Nelson is one of the most disciplined individuals that I've ever met when it comes to stuff like that. So his team's either all in or all out, I can tell you that right now. I know that they see that all the hard work pays off when they get to the state level and they have success like that. And he's definitely a big reason why that is, for sure.
And as a board member of the Oregon Association of Chiefs of Police, what are some issues that are not being dealt with by lawmakers that they need to be concerned about?
Well, Dan, I think the biggest issue is the broken mental health system, for sure. You know, we're dealing with ballot measure 110. I know that, but it all folds in together. And anybody that spent any time dealing with that population knows that mental health and addiction, homelessness are all rolled into one, or usually all rolled into one, especially in the population that we deal with. And so. It's fixing the system. It's providing infrastructure. It's providing resources. I know the money's out there, but what are they doing with the money? I have yet to see what exactly the positive outcomes are with this money. Maybe I'm not seeing it. Somebody can call me and they can definitely straighten me out, for sure. But right now, just with CCS's hard work, they've just opened up Aspen Springs again, you know, and that's a 15-bed facility. That's highly inadequate for just our region alone, but let alone bringing in people from other areas. I mean, it's so hard to find a bed for these people in crisis, and it's not doing them anything. It's doing your community a disservice. It's tragic that we can't figure out a way to get more systems in place and more resources for these individuals that are truly experiencing the crisis and need to be removed from society for a while. And that also goes into the danger to self or others bar that has to be met in order to involuntarily commit these people. And even if we do meet that bar, it's very hard to get those people placed. And so then you're taking up emergency department beds, because our local hospitals are now de facto crisis centers, and they don't want to be. So I think that's the next hoop to jump through, is to get more resources in place, is to try to centralize this system so there's not 27,000 different entities trying to do the same thing but not talking to each other and only worried about how much money they're going to get. And so I think that's where we need to go. That's the focus we need to take, because we truly want to help these people, but we want to help these people get better, but we also want to protect our communities at the same time. And they're not mutually exclusive from each other at all. And so I think it's just very important that we need to take a hard look at that and really question, is what we're doing right now working? And if not, what's the barriers? Let's remove those barriers and let's make it work, please.
The U.S. Supreme Court is going to hear the challenge of the court rulings that forced new resting in public places ordinances throughout the West, including Pendleton, next month. What are your hopes for that?
Common sense. I think it's skewed too far one way. I think it totally takes away local control about how your community wants to deal with this population. And I'm not talking about going from one extreme to another. I'm talking about common sense laws, common sense ordinances that we can put into place that helps us keep our public spaces public, and that for all of them to use. We all know the issues with Stillman Park here in this community right now. But if it's not that park, it's going to be another park. And so it's one of those things where we're losing the battle, but we're trying to win the war on this. And in that, we need common sense legislation. We need common sense rulings coming from the courts that allow us a little bit of local control, allow us a little bit of flexibility to say, no, this is not going to be tolerated here. It's not going to be tolerated anywhere. And it shouldn't be, because it's absolutely ridiculous that those public spaces can be abused to the extent in which they are. And it's frustrating for us because we are limited in what we can do. Stillman Park is the second highest call for service area on our call sheet per year, just right after Walmart. But those two also go hand in hand. You know, people stealing to support their habit or support their lifestyle because they can't hold down a job because they're addicted, mentally ill, whatnot. And then you have that population going down to Stillman Park and hanging out in a centralized area where there's a lot of services around there. They can go to the mini mart. They can go to the county. They can go to the courthouse. They're close to City Hall. All of that stuff is right around there. That is why they're choosing to hang there. And then they abuse that public space. To the detriment of costing thousands of dollars worth of damage, calls for service, us basically providing a substation down there. Can't be there 24/7, 365. We got other calls for service to handle. 24,000 last year, the most ever that we had. And again, Stillman Park was a significant portion of those calls for service. So there has to be legislation. There has to be laws on the books that allows us to say, no, 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 you're out of here. You're gone. You can't do this anymore. That's all we want.
I have about 2 minutes left. I wanted to ask you about the budget.
Well, budget season is just starting, and we got our budget sheets yesterday to start working on. I think for significant issues for us coming up in this next fiscal year is we've already got cars approved, so that's good to keep the fleet fresh and whole. We need to purchase some bikes for the river levy. So we're going to be looking at that, looking at the cost. I know that I have a lot of departmental computers inside the department that are needing to be replaced on a replacement schedule. So I think based on my count, we are the biggest user of computers within the city. We're one of the bigger departments. So yeah, we have a lot of technology that we rely on to help us be efficient in the job that we do. I have to budget for that. I have to budget for body cameras and in-car cameras because that system costs a lot every year. But it's a vital part of what we do. It provides transparency. It provides legitimacy. It provides evidence, training. So it's an invaluable tool. There's just a lot of nickel and dime costs that go along with running a police department these days that are mostly digital in electronics and technology-based that, you know, it's really not a tangible item you can put your hand on, but you know you're paying for it because you know you need to use it. So I'm also looking into license plate readers for our vehicles. We are encountering a lot of stolen vehicles from the Washington area. I think that if we had license plate readers in our cars, it would help us dramatically with identifying and capturing those a little bit better. So I'm looking forward to that and seeing if we can afford that. I think that's just about it, about what I'm looking at as far as budget-wise. Most of the money goes into personnel. Again, we're only as good as the personnel that we have. And right now we are the fullest we've ever been, and I'm really proud of where we're going right now.
All right, my guest, Pendleton Chief Chuck Barham. That's going to do it for this edition. We'll be back again tomorrow.
Depend on us for local news, sports, and weather. News Radio, FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA, Pendleton.